Welcome to the Tatus Talent Podcast. I'm Jonathan Reynolds, your host. I'm sitting here today with a new friend, Lisa Gonzalez. As you know, the podcast is about inspiring leaders who challenge, equip, and give great resources to other leaders who are changing companies and in turn changing the world. Happy to be sitting here with my new guest, Lisa Gonzalez.
And I am happy to be here as well and grateful for you to have me.
Fantastic. So loads of things to talk about, from your history of where you're from, born and raised, family business, author, speaker, trainer, inspirer, equipper, content creator, program author. I want to hear it all. Awesome. But we'll journey together for the next half hour or so.
Beautiful.
So give us a little bit of the background, upbringing, and who made you to be who you are today?
So I grew up in a family of entrepreneurs. My family had over 10 different businesses when I was growing up in Southern California.
Whoa.
Yeah. And every industry you could think of. So not every, but law, real estate. They had a restaurant at a point. They were Amway like distributors at a point. And so,
no way.
So I was always around that. So I share that, you know, 10 businesses and 4 kids and not a lot of process. And as a result, whether, you know, nature or nurture, I spent a lot of time trying to figure out how can we make things run a little more. I mean, you might want to call it neurotic or efficient. I don't know which it is, but so really worked on how do you make your business run more efficiently.
Yeah. So you can sniff out a good MLM like in seconds.
Exactly. I'm sure we were a part of three.
Someone
or
comes
so
up to you and goes, would you like to be an independent business owner?
I'm like, that sounds like
would
a pitch.
To come to a cheese and wine party at my house? And you're like,
exactly.
No way.
Exactly.
I just met you. That means you got an angle.
Exactly. Or I'll sign up. Depends. We were a part. And I would work weekends with my dad in the summers, helping him in his law practice and just helping organize, you know, make lists and file and just do things. Wow. To really try to create order. And then, with the wholesale business as well, all of us kids would work on stocking inventory and packing boxes and stuff. So super great experience. It wasn't always efficient or effective and money was sometimes super tight, but we all were raised really well and just, I'm sure it could have gone smoother, but that's part of the journey. So
what was, just talk about the growing up as a kid of, it sounds like incredibly entrepreneurial family members there.
Yes.
What was the kind of the best and worst spectrum as you look back now? Probably as a kid you were okay with it, but as you look back and...
Yeah, probably more okay with it as an adult than I was as a kid you knew that times were tough. I mean, there was no savings account, you know, times when your parents, their tension was like palpable. And that's almost what drives me to do what I do today, because I share. Have you ever seen this scene? I share it in my presentation. It's Will Ferrell. It's called The Dysfunctional Family. And it's like a family sitting at the dinner table and they're just silent. And you can hear the plate scratching with the forks and knives because they're just like so dysfunctional and quiet. And we weren't like that, but just the tension of that scene is perfect. And so because, you know, whether cash flow was tight or someone got an order wrong or something like that. So and they didn't have they were learning as they went. And so and I was, you know, trying to learn as well. So I became this, you know, just consumer of business books my whole life. I think partly things like Amway and stuff like that, we always had those types of books around me, whether it was, you know, Think and Grow Rich or different books like that, Norman Vincent Peale. And so I grew up just devouring those books, trying to really figure, just nuts today when you see the path it's taken me on. But so that's kind of the worst of it. And the best of it, you know, the Christmases you would come down and new bikes for everyone or a new car or different stuff that, you know, later down the road probably weren't the best choices. But at the time, we're like,
Cadillac?
Totally. All but. So, but you know, we had a lot of fun. And my siblings are awesome. And my mom and dad, you know, they did what they knew how to do and opened up incredible opportunities for us.
What a cool, I mean, it sounds like a pretty, it's formulative years.
For sure.
When you look back of who you are today and what you're doing today. So did you have an accountability chart for your family or no?
I do today, but no, I didn't then. No, there was none.
Do you really?
I do, kind of, yeah. We know who the visionary is. We know who the integrator is.
Okay, who's the visionary? Who's the integrator?
Oh, my husband's a hair on fire visionary.
Oh, come on.
I know, and that's the irony. You would think you'd see that person coming 100, you know, miles away,
you liked it. It was a good upbringing.
It was a good upbringing. And he's from Wisconsin, so your people as well. Some of your people. So
she does know that my accent's not from Wisconsin.
I do
Don't
know
worry.
That. Okay. I thought it sounds similar, but no, I do know that. So I today we do, and we do have like family, weekly family level 10 meetings basically, and all of that, which is a whole other book I'm going to write someday about.
I have that, so many questions on that, but I don't want to derail.
It's really helped. We have a 19-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 9-year-old, and a total tangent, but we just, it's really helped our family have a really great way to solve issues. So when your kids are coming at you 15 times, especially in their early days of, can I have more phone time? Can I have more this, that? You can just say, put it on the issues list and we can talk about it on our Sunday meeting. And so, and the kids run the meeting, and the meeting is basically, it's not the same L10 agenda. Yeah. It's what worked this week, what didn't work this week. And then we go through the issues list and sort through the ever reoccurring issue of more time on the phone or less when they were little or curfew or all those things. But that way you don't have to answer in the moment when you're trying to drive someone to a practice or cooking dinner, because my answer will be no. But if we can talk through it, you can make your case and we'll see what happens.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really helped us as a family, like just kind of, it's just the way we communicate.
And do your, especially the older kids, do they appreciate it?
Yeah, I think because they get less emotional responses as a family, we'll put other fun stuff like, where are we going for a vacation this year, or whatever the different things are, or hey, I mean, whatever the issues are.
Yeah.
People aren't doing the dishes, instead of, attacking it at the moment in the emotion. It's like, just put on the issues list and we'll talk about it, and kind of the kids recommit, and it's not an emotional conversation. It's like, oh yeah, I did say I was going to do that, I'm back, or homework. I mean, all these different topics. And for us, like if someone's like, hey, you were really crabby all week, they can say that. I'm like, yeah, you're probably right because of this and that. And then we look at the calendar for the week and the meeting's over. So we try to keep it between 45 minutes and an hour, and it's awesome.
Well, I mean, expectations.
That's my book. So that's the whole book. There you go.
That's it. Don't need to get it. Just listen to the podcast.
Save you time.
I was just thinking today, just even about how any conflict in relationship really comes down to mismet expectations.
Yeah.
So if somebody expected something to be done or done a certain way or happen a certain way and the other person didn't, and it causes disappointment, conflict, and then we have to hash through those expectations. So it sounds like you got expectations down a heck of a lot more.
Yeah.
All right, so process. You're quite a visionary person.
It's interesting. Maybe growing up around entrepreneurs. I'm very operational, frankly.
Okay.
But I think that my Colby is 8624. And I think because when I understand a concept or where something needs to go, I'm very clear on where it needs to go quickly because of my high follow through.
Yes. Okay.
So I research the heck out of everything.
Seriously.
So my two, I don't even really believe, because it's just I built my website in 2 weeks. I mean, there's stuff I know needs to go and it's just done. And
That's unusual.
Yeah.
So what caused you to decide to write a book?
Well, I was super fortunate. EOS was looking for the next author they really knew we needed to go deeper on the process component for kind of for our entrepreneurial leadership teams.
Yeah.
And they asked Mike Payton, who's the former visionary of EOS, to write it. And he was looking for a co-author and interviewed a bunch of people and was fortunate he picked me. And so we worked on it for a couple of years. During COVID, after COVID, nights and weekends, because we both had a pretty full EOS practice as well.
Yeah.
And we're fortunate to, it came out last, maybe it's October 2022.
Yeah.
And it's been insanely well received. It's sold already like almost 30,000 copies.
Wow.
And we're just both like, this is a book about process people, but we wrote it in a way that's super fun, book for visionaries mostly, because my process people get it. Like they're like, So we didn't want to preach to the choir. We wanted to make it fun and accessible. And
so it's written for, can you hold it up just for the camera?
Camera. So this is the book.
Yeah.
Designed by the amazing marketing team at EOS. So this is the book designed by the amazing marketing team at EOS as well. And Ben Bella Publishing, and it was just a ton of fun.
Yeah, cool. So, okay, walk me through that process. So there are a lot of visionaries who watch this podcast who go, I should write a book. Okay. I was one of them as well. It was a grueling process, a couple of years. But talk to me about that, like when, your process of actually writing a book about process for visionaries who are hearing this. Like, what was that like?
A lot of it was just getting in the mindset of the visionary. And so Peyton and I wrote it together.
Yeah.
And the best part of it was I was fortunate to interview a ton of companies running on EOS, a ton of companies that really did implement the process component and get strong on it, a ton of EOS implementers themselves.
Yeah.
And so I just got to get a bunch of different perspectives, and that's like my high fact finder, right? We got to do the research piece and then bring it in a way that's, we had a great great illustrator that made the drawings, you know, super fun and light. And so
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And so now, how do you scale something like this? You write a book, people want to read it, then they want you to come and speak about it, and then they go, screw that, because they're like, screw it, I don't want to do it. Can I outsource it? Somebody help me do this thing, which a lot of visionaries do. They get the concept, and they're like, good. Wait, I don't want to do the work, though. How do I do this? Like, what's next for them?
So a bunch of different options. I do process workshops, but really quickly realizing, just with one-on-one with leadership teams and teach them the tools so they can continue to do the work, but realize that's really not scalable. And so launched an online training program to teach groups of integrators and operators how to lead their leadership teams to get this work done and how to drive accountability.
Yeah.
And then, and so that's at the end of the day, you know, we believe that even if you were to hire an outside company to help you, you still have to stand alongside them and help them get the work done. And so I really want to train the operators. And most operational people get this. And even visionary, I mean, frankly, visionaries do get this as well. I think visionaries are so process-oriented, they just don't realize it because they're very good at separating the wheat from the chaff or whatever that expression is. And just saying, like, these are the 5 points you need to know to move on. And they don't document it, certainly. Right. And so that's just, we want to take it to the next level, teach them how to document it. So it's not just a game of telephone where you tell, you know, Nick, and then Nick's like, okay, and then Nick tells somebody else. So we want to make it so you capture it, and then you don't have to be involved in that that process at that level anymore.
I think that's one of the hardest things as a visionary is that intuition. Like, absolutely. I don't know how I do it, but I know that it works for me.
Yeah.
And I know that I can walk in a room and I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But how do you teach somebody else that?
Yeah. I mean, I love in EOS when we talk about the, you know, the five roles of a visionary and when, you know, the creativity and the problem solving is like, yeah, you can hear all this noise and you're like, this is the solution.
Yeah.
You don't get lost in the details. So it's your unique ability, right? As Dan Sullivan says.
So does a manager of five people, kind of frontline manager, could they take this book on process and be like, okay, now I know what to do with it, or is it not?
That's the intention, is really to make it a workbook, as well as we first go through the mindsets and kind of the biases that visionaries have against kind of taking on process and topple those to show, like, whatever you're believing about process is just misplaced. You are a process person. This is why. And we go through that discussion. Yeah. And then we walk through how you do it. And we just need our visionaries to have buy-in and some passion around it, because if they either, you know, reject it, or if they don't bring their energy to it, it probably is not going to happen. Or certainly if they thwart it, it's not going to happen. And so we need them to kind of walk alongside their team and get it, you know, support the operational people to get it done. And then the operational people will train their managers and help them get it done. And it continues.
I think it's just huge. It's funny. I always say, like, I'm not a process person. If you look at a lot of the personality profiles, I wouldn't fall into those categories. But I love process. I love everybody else following process, but not me.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a whole other conversation. But it's understandable, right? Like, because you're a visionary, you want to do things differently. And visionaries don't like being told what to do, right? And they don't like following the routine. And so we talk about, but if you want to scale your company, if you want to grow your people, if you want to have freedom from your business, yeah, there's some things we have to do, and that's the ticket to getting there.
Yeah, it's interesting. We've seen 67% of our companies, or a couple hundred employees, 67% of our team members have joined us in the last 2 years, and so we're just realizing like, we love culture. We've got all of our, you know, core values and all of the different components of running on EOS. We've been running on EOS for a decade now, which is cool. But realizing there's a lot of this group that comes through that don't know why. Like, they don't know the why behind the what we do. And helping understand, why do we have L10 meetings? And why is the structure this way? We have everybody in the company read What the Heck is EOS.
Beautiful.
It's, like, shipped to their house before they've even started with us. You know, I don't know if they read it or not. But we have book club as well, to get everyone, you know, go through it too.
Find out.
Yeah. But it's just interesting that kind of understanding the why behind things, people are going to buy in a lot more.
Yeah.
So.
And I think your approach is perfect, right? It's we say that, you know, the book Traction is just a process manual for how to run your business, right? And right. if your processes, we're going to make sure that someone gets a copy of What the Heck is EOS, which yeah. is for kind of the rest of the team.
Yeah.
It's just a process to make sure you're communicating your culture.
Sure. Yeah. I think so you've worked with a lot of visionaries and integrators over the years, and you still do implementing right
I
now.
I do.
And do you have a full load of workload right
I
now?
I do.
What's a full workload for Lisa Gonzalez?
For me, it's my goal, and this year is going to be big. So when we were writing the book, I had so many clients. It was insane. People kept coming, and I kept writing the book. And so when the book was starting to come out, people graduated, and I was like, this is a good life. And so my goal is around 80 sessions a year, which is about 13 clients or so, maybe 14. And because I'm also doing these online process kind of group coaching things, and I love this work. And I just want to make sure I leave space for my life with my kids and my, you know, and for fun things. And even creating this other business around the coaching, around the book process too. So I just... And we travel a lot, and so that's what it looks like. You said something made me think about, I am absolutely surrounded by entrepreneurs and visionaries all the time. I think that, and that's, I mentioned to you earlier, that's where my heart is almost, because growing up, like I did with my dad, was big entrepreneur. That word wasn't there, and visionary wasn't there at the time. But I think like the people with ADHD and the people with all these creative, those are my people on some level, because. Yeah. You're the ones that create all the great stuff in this world, right? And I think just having respect for like what that brings to the table, and then, you know, the right process, the right vehicle to let other people execute on that vision. I think that makes the world such a kinder place versus how I feel most of the visionaries, at least during my time when I was a kid, grew up being, you know, they didn't typically do great in school. You know, they were the fidgety ones and all this different stuff. Yeah. And that had a judgment on it. And today I'm just like, you know, let those people... set them free, because all the good stuff is coming from them.
Do you see that in any of your kids?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
All three of them?
At least two of them.
At least two of them.
Yeah.
And you celebrate it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And in my session room, I do as well. You know, we have fidget spinners, and I tell people this is not a classroom. It's move and walk around. Everyone knows, like, when you're creative, your creativity is like, if you're moving around, you get that energy, and that helps you. So, yeah, just... Don't get me on the whole education. And, you know, we're in traditional schools and stuff too now, but it's just respecting who people are is, I think, really important.
Oh, this is good. I'm going to go off and talk about that. But so you sit in the integrator seat for the Gonzalez family.
Yeah.
Is there a company out there that you're like, I love that company so much, I respect that company, I would love to be the integrator to that visionary?
Famous? No. None.
None.
I don't want to be the integrator for any company whatsoever. I was the integrator in our own family business for a while as well. So I my history post childhood entrepreneurship is I went to law school, thought I'd live like a safe life away from the entrepreneur world, and then married an entrepreneur, and he had a startup idea. Never had been in the remodel world, but wanted to expand, kind of change the world when it comes to construction, and joined them. We did a lot of stuff really wrong and up and down, and took money out from our own home many times. And so so that was like the world I wasn't going to be a part of. And it felt very much like my childhood. And so around maybe 8 years ago, 9 years ago, that same visionary handed me a copy of the book Traction, my husband, and said, we should read this book, meaning you. And so I read it, and like in a day and a half, and it just was everything we had tried to do. We had been a member of EO and YPO and tried all the different concepts that came through our membership there, but this, you know, finally put it together in a way that we could apply and changed everything. And so much so, like after about 5 years of implementing in our company, I didn't know there were EOS implementers and stuff like that. I went out and got, well, we implemented it, and then things changed and became super consistent. And I went out and got trained to do it now. That's what I've been doing now.
So you never actually hired an implementer?
We did near the end when I was leaving. We were like, oh, there's these people that do this, and they ran our quarterly session, but
you can do it.
I was like, that's cool. They did a fabulous job.
Just, we don't know. We don't do so has the dream of being an implementer, so it's been 7 or 8 years?
5 years.
5 years. Wow, you're a rising star.
Oh, yeah, no, it's like I couldn't ask for anything better. You have this awesome book. You get to work with an awesome person. And then you have this great community that buys your book. It's been awesome.
So what's next for you?
Next is probably more of the same. And then also this online group coaching that I'm doing for leadership teams is super fun. And just kind of getting in the world of like, you know, social media and pulling that in.
How does somebody find you on this whole program?
Super easy. It's my name. It's lisagonzalez.com. And Gonzalez is all Z's, so no S in there. Lisa has an S, Gonzalez doesn't. So and it's
lisagonzalez.com. Yeah. Okay. And people can literally sign up for the online course.
Yes. And it's the next one's May 15th, 2023, and then probably every month after that.
Oh, okay. So it's not a self.
They're self-run, self-kind of. Okay. They're coming later, but these are for now.
So, okay, if you had complete carte blanche freedom to speak on any topic in the world to a bunch of leaders, what would it be?
You know, I love the conversation about process. In writing the book, I just kept doubling down on this is everything. It's everything to like the keys to freedom and to. And it just goes on and on about how our brains have so much going on. There's so much going on in our lives. If we can capture the things that we do routinely and kind of just take that off, allow us to go offline on those things and let our leaders and our managers have more freedom to lead and manage their teams.
Yeah.
I just think it's such the key to freedom. So that's my passion. It's probably always been. And certainly right now it's, you know, probably the top one. I love what your organization does. I think culture for organization is vital, and I love your conversation around generosity. And but you know that's your expertise, and so I love bringing that into our conversations as well. But at the end of the day, I know how much people sacrifice to run their own businesses, and I just want to give them the tools so they can run your business and be profitable, but just live a better life. You know, it's not about we were kind of joking. It's not about just the profitability in an organization. It's what are you going to do with that? And even equally important, what are your employees going to do with their lives? If your business is running well, hopefully their lives are running better and their families are happier. And so that's why I care so much about this.
Oh, I love it. I talk to a lot of authors and they go, yeah, I can't believe I wrote this book, but I'd never want to do it again, except I would write a book about, during the whole process.
They're processing.
I got another one now. I got another one brewing inside of me.
Mine's the family one for sure.
Family
rhythms, family meetings. Before COVID, I had started that and then stopped because of COVID, even though you think I would have started more, but the EOS business kind of kept growing. And so I put it on ice, but just teaching families how to communicate better. It's one thing to say run a good family meeting, but the depth that's required for that of like active listening and, you know, letting your kids like letting go of control and all the things I learned along the way, right? Because I can run a meeting, but that's not the point. The point is like to teach them how to communicate well and all of that stuff. So that's the book I would write. And it's probably going to be an ebook. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm really excited.
I can see it. I can see the workshops and all kinds of stuff and get people on board with that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's
cool. So as a process person, have you actually thought about when it's going to be?
No.
Are you going to work on it?
No, because this book is still so new and I have a little one at home and I need to make sure I try to stay a little balanced.
Wow. Yeah. This is amazing. Writing a book really forces to think about process.
Right. Yeah.
That was probably the biggest thing for me. I was sitting in the visionary seat, having to write a book, which is a process book on how to get the right person in the right seat, and then how do you grow and develop them, and how do you engage them, and how do you get the most out of that, and how do you give the most to them? It's all about process and putting a system in place and to make it scalable, because hiring is not just about the one, it's about the many and how they all work together. But it really forced me to realize, I do care about process, actually. Yeah. I don't know if I want to, like I say in the book, that I got fired from hiring in our own company as a visionary. And the reason I got fired from it, I didn't follow the process.
Yeah.
I said, trust me, I'm a visionary. I can see something that you can't see.
Right, which is I can see their potential.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the worst hires.
And within 30 days, I was on family vacation. I got a call saying, you need to fire this guy.
Good.
So, and I was like, well, he doesn't work for me. And they're like, yeah,
you hired him.
You hired him and you made us manage him and you didn't follow the scorecard. Yeah. It was a zero on that.
Yeah. You said, I am on it right now about visionary. I mean, we talk about it. Rocket Fuel talks about it about visionaries hiring people as, you know, you see the potential in everyone and like, I don't need you hiring. You need to hire for GWC.
Right.
Right people, right seats, period.
Yeah. Stop hiring with your gut, but that's great. Okay. Well, it's a privilege and a pleasure having you here on the show. And we'll definitely go to lisagonzalez.com.
Well, thank you so much.
And I will make sure our head of people and learning gets on that and to find out how we can get our teams working
better. I'll go find them and tell them. You don't have to follow through. It's okay. I'll do it.
Somebody. Can somebody do that? Somebody. Anyone. Intern. Do it.
Intern. Number two. Perfect.
No, all right.
Great. Awesome. Well, it's super great to meet you and spend time with you
guys. I am looking forward to hearing your session at the EOS conference. Obviously, when this comes out, it'll be long past you.
Exactly.
But, a long past time. But it's great having you here. It's great meeting you.
You too. It was super great. Take care.
Bye.